everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our show. Tom, how could I forget? I forgot to tell people yesterday was National Be Kind to Each Other Day.
I mean, well, I thought that was every day.
Oh, every day. It should be every day. Yeah.
You know, live by the golden rule.
Live by the golden rule. We could all use a little kindness right now. It's Thursday, November 14th, 2024. The Buckmaster Show segues into year 15 with our radio program in January. All of our programs, pretty much every show we've done, available at buckmastershow.com. Really easy to use archive that goes back to the first week of January in 2011. We've got five radio stations under one roof right now, and this one's 1030 KVOI The Voice. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We love Green Things. We're so delighted they have the naming rights to our program while we're on the air here in the studio. KVOI, when we do our live line, and that's our telephone interviews, let's see, we're going to do one during our four segments today. That's presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Once a month, we take off. We do a deep dive into Tucson Air Service and the people that run the Tucson International Airport and the Tucson Airport Authority. Tom Tucker's joining us today. Tom is the chief of the Tucson International Fire and Rescue Team. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Good. How are you? Good afternoon.
Great to see you and welcome to our program. And then Brian Kidd is with us. Brian, the marketing director and director of Air Service Development. Hey, Brian, how's it going?
Very good, Bill.
Getting ready for a big Thanksgiving, right?
We're ramping up. It's right around the corner.
Before we quickly get over to Tom, these new numbers that came out, you put out a news release today, actually, Brian, the TUS Tucson really looked good in seat capacity growth. In fact, number one, what's that all about?
Number one in the West.
Wow.
Yeah, it's all based on a really strong performance last year. So the airlines saw that, saw all the revenue they generated, and awarded us a lot of extra capacity this year, which is all available for you to take advantage of this holiday season. If you haven't looked at us before, you may find something that works for you just great this holiday season, because we have almost 17% more seats than we did a year ago for that period.
So there is availability. That's some pretty good prices too, right?
Depending on your itinerary, it's definitely worth taking a look. Even though we're getting close, there may still be something out there for you.
Yeah, especially if you're flying around Christmas, and we can get into that with you, Brian, during your December visit. But I want to get in to Tom Tucker and talk with Tom about... Tom, tell me about the footprint of your operation out there at the airport. Probably a lot of listeners don't have any idea. They just assume, well, fire is covered by the city of Tucson. It is not the case. You've got your own department. Tell our listeners a little bit about it, Tom.
Sure, absolutely. Our fire department is mandated by the Federal Aviation Administration to provide the service for fire protection for the aircraft at TAA. Mm-hmm. And so with that being said, we have our own standalone fire department. We're an all-hazards department, so that doesn't mean that we just deal with aircraft. We deal with structure fires. We have a robust EMS program. We have paramedics and EMTs. So we're just like any other fire department, but we really specialize on the aviation portion of our job. That's our special operation.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but if there's a medical emergency before someone even takes off, your team is called to action, correct?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. We provide ALS service, which is Advanced Life Support Service, no different than you would find in any other fire department.
Mm-hmm. What the fighting an aircraft fire takes specialized training, doesn't it, Tom?
It sure does, and really a lot of that has to do with the specialized equipment that we've acquired as well. So our fire truck, we have one fire truck that looks just like the one that you'll see going down the road right now.
Uh-huh.
We have a bunch of others that are very specific to aircraft. They're very large. They carry a large capacity of water and foam.
I bet those aren't cheap.
Those are not cheap. No. We are actually in the midst of replacing our entire fleet.
What?
And which I'm really excited
to talk
about.
That's a costly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they're going for about $1.5 million each. But it allows us to do some things that we've never been able to do before. And those are all self-funded trucks from the Tucson Airport Authority, no grants from the FAA. So we are really excited to be able to share that information, and they're going to be the most high-tech, robust fire trucks that we've ever had, and they really do stand out.
Is there a particular one manufacturer that controls that market?
No, there's several, just like any other fire department apparatus.
So they go out to bid and everything?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So these trucks are coming from a certain manufacturer, and they're really neat. They have forward-looking infrared on them. They have navigation cameras. They have what we call an HRET, which is a high-reach extendable turret that kind of looks like a ladder truck, but it can pierce the skin of an aircraft and put water inside of the aircraft. Yeah, so
it's so really high tech,
really, really high tech, and a great responsibility for our driver operators to operate, and they do an amazing job. So we're really excited about seeing those next year.
We're talking to Tom Tucker. Tom is the chief at TIA, Tucson International Fire and Rescue. Brian Kidd is also here, marketing director and director of air service development. It is our monthly visit with the people out at Tucson International Airport. Brian, it's a big operation, isn't it?
It's a city unto itself, all sorts of different departments.
And the acreage, your footprint.
7,000.
7,000 acres.
That's a whole separate department that's charged with marketing that property and eventually getting that developed to the extent that we can. So that's been a real focus the last 3 or 4 years, and will continue as we try to make that productive.
That's revenue enhancement.
That's the goal.
Potential revenue enhancement.
We want to reduce the cost to operate at TUS, and the way we can do that is by generating more lease revenue off of that land.
All right, Tom Tucker, let's talk about the type of operation when you have an aircraft that needs foam or whatever. This gets a little tricky because the public knows, I think generally people know, that for an aircraft fire, foam is going to be involved. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the foam that has been used by aircrafts, by fire departments all over North America, has had issues with PFAS.
Correct.
Which is one of these forever chemicals. Mm-hmm. The transition, though, is underway, correct, Tom?
Absolutely it is.
So.
And that's a part of a replacement of this fleet. The only way to be truly fluorine-free is to have a brand-new truck that's never had that foam in it. And so that's been the commitment.
Oh, it's clean, and then it's clean about any of that.
Exactly right. Our fleet will not have any fluorine-based foams in it come next year.
Hmm.
As soon as these trucks are built and delivered, they'll get fluorine-free foam. And from that point, we can absolutely say that our fleet is fluorine-free.
There really wasn't much of an opportunity to use the products that didn't contain that, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
The Federal Aviation Administration dictates the type of foam that we have to use, and it has to be a military spec foam. And based on that, that's the foam we had to use.
There was I heard somewhere that there was the government had, you have the foam that goes on the aircraft, there is a timing factor, correct? It has to be able to put out a fire in a certain amount of time or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there's all kinds of, to get on the qualified purchase list, they do extensive studies through the Navy and through DOD based on the critical fire ground factors and how long it suppresses fumes and how it actually puts out the fire. So there's a whole science behind it,
mm-hmm.
absolutely. And we're really excited about this new foam that doesn't have those chemicals that made them so successful. These new foams will do the same type of job for us, and they're environmentally conscious, and we're so excited about being able to do that.
Is that a manufacturer here in the United States?
Yes, it is.
That is doing the mm-hmm. that makes this particular.
Yes, there's a couple.
Yeah.
And then as time progresses, there's more vendors added to the QPL
Yeah.
And as that happens, you'll have more choices.
All right. We're talking to Tom Tucker. Tom is the he's been with Tucson International Fire, I think you said, almost a quarter of a century, right?
That is it.
Came on board in the year 2000, mm-hmm. and Brian Kidd is here. Brian's with us every month. We hope to have him every month, the marketing director and director of air service development. But gentlemen, right now we're going to pause and talk about my favorite bakery in town. How does that sound, Brian?
It's lunchtime, isn't it?
It is. Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle, and they're getting ready for Thanksgiving, Brian and Tom, and they're taking orders now for people, well, for their desserts, for pies, dinner rolls. I know I'll put in an order probably for about a dozen since I'm going to be kind of handling Thanksgiving this year. What about you, Brian? What type of pie is your choice on the table?
I can go pumpkin, but my favorite pie is cherry, so I usually make that a special request.
Mm, okay, how about you, Tom?
Kentucky Derby pie, which is kind of a
Kentucky Derby pie.
Yeah, kind of a pecan pie, a family recipe there. From
well,
my mom.
I'm sure that Steve and the team up at Mona's can handle whatever you've got in mind for your pie request. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. They're up in the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. We'll continue talking about Tucson International Airport, known in the business as TUS, and the website is flytus.com.
FlyTucson.com.
You'd think I would know that after this, but there we go. All right, take a break right here. We'll talk more about TIA and TUS right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority annually contributes over $100 million to regional transportation improvements to supplement limited federal and state funds. This critical funding source provides funding for nearly two-thirds of our region's needed transportation improvements through its 2006 voter-approved half-cent sales tax. To review and comment on the RTA's new draft plan, visit rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio when we do our telephone interviews, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Coming up tomorrow, our Friday focus interview will be Jan Lusher, the Pima County Administrator. We'll be going one-on-one with Jan. And Dan Scheer, the editor of the Green Valley News, will be joining me. He will be my guest media co-host that we do on Friday. But right now we're talking Tucson International Airport. It's our once a month look at what's going on at TIA. And we meet the people who are involved out there that keep the airport up and running. And Tom Tucker's a real key to the staff out there. Tom is the chief at TIA Fire and Rescue, and also one of the folks who make things go as far as making sure we have the best in air service development. Brian Kidd, marketing director and the director of air service development. By the way, Brian and Tom, I was out at the airport recently on my trip in late October up to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I've talked a little bit about it, but it was nice. I do want to say, of course, I fly out of Tucson and flew nonstop up on Alaska, did the Alaska flight, Brian, in the morning, like that aircraft a lot that they're using. And then I flew into Portland, where you used to be involved with the airport up there. Easy transition, and then flew on to Spokane. On Alaska, and then Coeur d'Alene, the folks at the resort, for 35 minutes over to the Coeur d'Alene Resort, had a great time. Then flying back through Salt Lake, again, the airport up there, Brian, looks great, and then to Tucson. You know, you really don't need to go up to Phoenix, Brian. I mean, Tucson really can get you where you want to go.
Absolutely. We have over 400 destinations you can reach with one simple connection. Save yourself the stress, you know, have a relaxing start to your trip, and make the connection, and you'll still get there quicker than if you made the slog up to Phoenix.
And the grounds are looking really good. The new sign, I know you guys are really happy with that.
Yes, we're also getting ready for our normal seasonal influx of visitors, and they want to see all of our beautiful desert flora out there, and we've got some warm weather today, at least. Let's hope we get a nice, good string of that for the winter.
Hey, that's an idea for another one of our TIA shows. Bring in you probably got a chief of landscape.
That's actually
a pretty good idea to talk about all the landscaping going on there. All right, Tom Tucker, how about... we've had Chief Ryan on the show a lot, the chief over at Tucson Fire, and he's talked about how back in the day, and I think you could probably relate to this, not that you're that old a guy, but when there was an opening in fire service, there were a lot of people that wanted to join fire service. Things have changed.
You know, I think departments nationally struggle to recruit. I think that's in public safety in general, both police and fire and dispatch. You know, that's a part that isn't talked about as a lot as well. Yeah, I remember in 2000 trying to get on for the fire department the first time, and you would see the TCC filled up. Folks trying to test for Tucson Fire, and I was one of those people, and I also applied at TIA, and there were hundreds of people that applied for two jobs at TIA.
And for two jobs, hundreds of people.
And you know, the numbers have dramatically declined, and, you know, I don't have a sense for why that is. It's a wonderful job. It's a wonderful lifestyle. It really allows you to have that work-life balance based on, you know, working 24-hour shifts.
Yeah.
You make a difference.
Yeah, you've got three shifts, right?
We have three shifts. We work the same schedule as Tucson Fire.
Yeah.
But the job's just so rewarding, and you know, you're out there to help people, and you get a sense of pride once you leave in the morning, and then you enjoy your time off, and it's just, you know, it's just a wonderful lifestyle, wonderful job, and it's meaningful. And you have fun.
Yeah.
And those are the only two requirements I have for a job, right? Is it meaningful and is it fun?
Yeah.
And the fire service definitely clicks those boxes.
You know, when a person boards an airplane, the number one concern or thing on their mind, at least it is with me, Brian and Thomas, safety. You want to make sure that you're going to get where you're going in a safe manner. And you've where you're departing airport and where you're landing, you want to make sure that the people who are running the fire department, the fire safety, are fully trained. Do you have to have specialized training, and is that renewable every year, Tom Tucker?
Yeah, yes, sir, it is. We're required to train in a certain manner on certain topics, and that's dictated by FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration. And those topics are audited, and we are inspected on an annual basis. And then we also have to attend live fire training specifically to aircraft. And currently our department goes to Dallas-Fort Worth, where they have a wonderful program that allows us to do all types of fires. And then that allows us to maintain our certificate to allow us to continue to function as specialized aircraft rescue firefighters.
Mm-hmm. Because there's so many nuances to this. You know, not only you want the aircraft, obviously, to land safely, but an aircraft has a bunch of tires on board, and everything's got to be working right. And it doesn't always, like a tire can blow out and all these kinds of things. You guys have got to be ready for every time an airport or an airplane takes off and lands.
Yeah. I mean, that's the nature of the job, right? Yeah. Is that you're there and prepared and you're always vigilant. Luckily, we don't have a lot of incidents in aviation nationwide. Mm-hmm. So that requires a special kind of firefighter to maintain that vigilance, knowing that, you know what, it doesn't happen very often, but when it does, you have to be super prepared.
Tom Tucker with us, Tom Chief, and he's chief at TIA Fire and Rescue, and Brian Kidd is here. Tucson International Airport is a joint use facility with the Arizona Air Guard, which really has a large presence out at TIA. How does that work with the people over there, their team of fire and rescue?
Yeah, we have a wonderful relationship with the 162nd Fighter Wing and their fire service. We work hand in hand with them on a daily basis. I like to say that it's Station 1 and Station 2. It's just us arguing on which one is 1 and 2, right?
Yeah.
So we know everybody by a first-name basis, and we work with them regularly, work with them on EMS calls, on fire calls, on aircraft calls. Mm-hmm. And it's neat for us because we get to experience the military aviation aspect mm-hmm. of the airport, which, you know, my compadres in Phoenix, they see the same airframe every day. You know, it's
yeah,
the commercial
airframe.
Yeah,
that's a different situation up at Sky Harbor, which is a municipal fire department mm-hmm. that has their station out at the airport.
Right.
But they don't have a military component.
No. And TUS just sees so many different types of airframes. It's amazing. We get general aviation. We get military.
You get some of the really the fast stuff, right?
Yeah, F-35s. You see an F-35 one day and a Sea Stallion the next, and you know a 747 or an Antonov. We just get to see so many different types.
Yeah, a lot of variety of the airframes that are coming in.
A lot of neat airframes. So
yeah, that makes me think about what's going on with the runway development, Brian Kidd. So you've got the main runway. Then let me see if I can get this straight. Well, you explain. There's a second runway, right?
Right. We are.
How's that going? Are we doing that?
It's plugging away. We're at the mercy of the FAA for sort of a pay-as-you-go funding. We've been preparing for this, but we, you know, have to sort of meter it out as we go. So there's still a couple of years left. It doesn't affect commercial operations at mm-hmm. all. What we're trying to do is build a second parallel runway that's exactly the same as our main one, which we
same
only have before.
Same length and everything?
Correct. Mm-hmm. All we had before was a general aviation runway. So mm-hmm. most of the we also have a crosswind runway, which was in operation yesterday a little bit. But
crosswind operation?
Yes. So that it makes sort of a T if you think about the two runways. So if the wind is really strong out of the southwest, we might use the crosswind runway, but 97% of the time it's...
was in use yesterday.
Just briefly. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what was going on, but there was. But at least we have that redundancy if needed. But this will provide us a lot of redundancy because, as we were talking about, the Air National Guard can actually use that runway too and stay out of the flow a little bit. And we were building other taxiways and so forth to really improve the safety of the airport even further. While we're at it, we're making all those improvements as a sort of a cohesive plan. So when we get done, we're going to have the taxiways and so forth will be in much better condition and will carry us for decades to come.
All right, just a few minutes left, less than a few minutes, actually. Tom Tucker, if someone wants to join the team, what do they do? If there's an opening.
If there is an opening, we will always post on our website, and it's at flytucson.com, www.flytucson.com. I think /careers probably.
Okay, that'll get you there.
Yeah, right? And that'll get you there, and it'll have the job description and the requirements of the job.
Okay, and flytucson.com, Brian, the place to go to think about Thanksgiving, right? And Thanksgiving is traditionally busy, real busy.
That's right, especially in the last few years, it's even starting earlier than it used to. That weekend before is almost as busy as the Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. So it really turns into about a 10-day period of at least 8 of those days are really busy.
And there's capacity.
And yes, go check it out if you haven't done so already. You might be pleasantly surprised at what's available still.
All right, flytucson.com. Always a pleasure to see Brian Kidd, Marketing Director and Director of Air Service Development. We'll have Brian back with us in December. And Tom Tucker, Chief of TIA's Fire and Rescue. Tom, thanks for sharing some thoughts about what you and the team are doing.
Absolutely. It's a giant pleasure to be here, and I really thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. All right, we're going to the midway point of the Buckmaster Show. Valley Fever is our topic after the mid-show break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. We're in the Buckmaster Show. I almost said the Buckmaster Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. It's the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios, where they grow over at Green Things. 20,000. Yes, that's right. 20,000 poinsettia is ready for your Thanksgiving table. If you don't want to put a poinsettia on the table, how about near the table? We'll give a nice feel for the holidays. Check out Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. Their website's greenthingsaz.com. Their sister business, zocalovillage.com. All that wonderful imported merchandise from Mexico. A lot of stuff for the holidays. zocalovillage.com. Good news for the Valley Fever Center of Excellence at the University of Arizona College of Medicine, which last night received the Innovator of the Year Academia Award from the Arizona Technology Council in partnership with the Arizona Commerce Authority. This is a really big deal. It was an award that was presented, as I say, last night at the 21st Annual Governor's Celebration of Innovation Awards up in the Phoenix area. And Dr. John Galgiani is with me in studio. Dr. Galgiani, the founder and director of the Valley Fever Center for Excellence. You've been there for 28 years, and he's also a professor of medicine and immunobiology at the College of Medicine. Great to see you, Dr. Galgiani, and congratulations. This is a big deal. You've got to be very gratified.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the evening last night, and it's a pretty exciting vaccine that we're developing. And actually, the governor made an attendance, made a point of noticing that this was the governor's celebration, and for years there had not been a governor attending.
But the governor actually came.
But she came and made several comments, and it was very nice to have her appearance.
So a lot of the accolades go back to this vaccine that you're working in, the vaccine that actually has been created, a Valley Fever vaccine for dogs.
Right. So this vaccine is actually a pretty big One Health story. It was invented by Mark Orbach and Lisa Schubitz, two of my colleagues. But I think the award was really given to the Valley Fever Center for Excellence, which really kind of makes sense because if we didn't have that center, we would not have had Mark working with Lisa. They mm-hmm. would not have even probably known each other. They come mm-hmm. from different parts of the campus. Mm-hmm. But because
the center made it possible for them to do
that's
their work.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the center only exists because of primarily philanthropic support. Mm. We do get research grants too, but underneath that, the glue that holds those research awards together is the philanthropy and the foundation support from people across the state.
So the philanthropy fuels this kind of work.
That's absolutely right. And without the philanthropy, frankly, this wouldn't have happened.
Valley fever is an infection. It's caused by the inhalation of a fungal spore.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you carefully decided not to try to say coccidioides.
How did you know?
I just we've been together.
I moved
times.
That one out of the picture, but
or the disease called coccidioidomycosis.
Oh, okay. Common symptoms: cough, fatigue, chest pain, fever, rash, headache, joint aches, and night sweats. Okay, so that could cover a lot of things.
Yeah, and it really can't be diagnosed unless you get a specific blood test for Valley fever, mm-hmm. and that's very important because a lot of things you do don't help take care of a fungal infection. And so we're very aggressively trying to make sure physicians test for this when patients have those symptoms.
And why is the Center for Excellence of Valley Fever Center of Excellence in Arizona? Well, to answer my own question, 2/3 of all Valley Fever infections in the United States are contracted here in Arizona. So it's a natural.
Yeah. And actually, if you do the numbers, the economic impact is roughly $1.5 billion. And you can really think of that as loss of productivity. And that loss is centered where this fungal infection is so concentrated, right here, up and down Interstate 10 between Phoenix and Tucson.
So if the product, which is commercial for dogs, the vaccine against dogs, when is that available?
Well, we hope it becomes available after the USDA approves it.
How long is that going to take?
And that process has been in play for the last 3 or 4 years, but But we're hopeful that by next fall, there probably will be a vaccine available for veterinarians to use for their clients.
Would that vaccine be then given after the animal contracts valley fever or before?
Before. This would be a preventative vaccine.
Okay.
And hopefully it will be very effective. That's all the data suggests that. And the biology of this vaccine probably suggests that it could also do exactly the same thing for humans.
Hmm.
So I'm a physician, and even though I'm have nothing against veterinary care, and I'm glad that we're doing this too,
yeah.
I'm very hopeful that we can get this vaccine also into clinical trials for humans. And in fact, last summer, the National Institutes of Health awarded our commercial partner, Anavive Life Sciences, a contract to do just that, to take it from where we are now into clinical trials. And that was, if all of the funding is applied, it'll be up to $33 million.
That's good news. So how would it work? How would someone know whether they needed to get the vaccine?
Well, there are certain groups that are at particular risk. But frankly, you know, I'm knowing how sick people feel, even the ones that get over this, that have the uncomplicated quotes, mild form of this disease, they are amazed at how impacting it is. They're out of work often for, if not days, weeks, and sometimes even many weeks. This is not the complicated form of this disease. This is something that just knocks them off their feet.
So they think they have the flu initially, I guess.
Yes, that's that. Or sometimes they think they might be getting rheumatoid arthritis.
Okay.
Or sometimes they have symptoms that are very similar now to what we call long COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And just can't get out of bed, for example.
Wow.
And all of that, if this vaccine proves to be effective, could perhaps eliminate all of that risk to everybody. But in addition to the general interest, I think senior citizens, people of color, people that have immunosuppressing conditions, for instance, people that take these drugs to treat rheumatoid arthritis or psoriatic arthritis, you know, on the nightly news, they talk about, do you live or have you been somewhere where certain fungal infections are common?
Mm-hmm.
That's code for valley fever.
Uh-huh.
And so maybe those patients would really benefit. In fact, the data in mice suggests that even people that are taking certain immunosuppressive therapies might actually benefit and be able to ward off the infection and be protected with this vaccine.
Who is at risk for valley fever? Newcomers to our area, or what about those like myself who've been here forever?
Right. The state work suggests that the median length of residence is 12 years. So half of the people don't get a diagnosis of valley fever before 12 years and half after 12 years. And I've had a patient, I remember very distinctly, who grew up in Tucson, was a bricklayer, and he came down with his valley fever infection when he was 75. So
whoa,
it's possible
whoa.
To be here quite a long time.
Wow. Bricklayer, being outside, presumably, that has got to be a risk for valley fever.
Well, you'd think so.
Maybe but, not, huh?
Well, and in certain cases it is, but I think one of the things that aren't well understood, widely understood, is that this fungus lives in the soil, but only in certain parts of the desert. It's sort of like wildflowers, where you see it in certain places, but not every place else.
Hmm.
And in fact, it's only in very small percentages. So people that are kicking up a lot of dust one way or another may have no fungus in that dirt at all, often.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a risk, and there are outbreaks where mm-hmm. a construction crew all come down with valley mm-hmm. fever. But that's
because they were working in an area where
the fungus really was, yes.
And we have probably no idea why the fungus likes certain areas.
We're working on that. There's a
hard to ask a fungus, why do you like so?
Well, it probably has something to do with soil chemistry.
Yeah.
John Chover is working on that. Actually, Board of Regents has been really helpful in supporting some environmental studies to try to understand that question.
Well, Dr. Gaggiani, it's always a pleasure to see you, and congratulations. Valley Fever Center for Excellence at the University of Arizona College of Medicine in Tucson, receiving last night a big award, Innovator of the Year Academia Award, from the Arizona Technology Council in partnership with the Arizona Commerce Authority. I know this has really been your lifelong work, Dr. Gaggiani, and it's well-deserved. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. All right, coming up next in segment number four, what happened to the University of Arizona Wildcat football team this year? There were such high hopes. Troy Hutchison of Go AZ Cats will be with us on the live line right after we take a break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
You can now review and comment on the Regional Transportation Authority's draft $2.46 billion regional transportation plan at one of several upcoming RTA Next open houses. The draft 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. It's your plan. Tell us what you think. Learn more and find dates for an upcoming open house near you at rtanext.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We are rocking and rolling. A lot of content in the program, which we try to do every day here, 5 days a week. 65 degrees, midday temperature over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. For as far as I'm concerned, that's almost perfect. Want to get outside, do a little hiking in the Gila National Wilderness? Start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Here's the good news. It's only about a three-hour drive, not a bad drive at all, mostly interstate. Over to Lordsburg, take a left, and then up the mountain to Silver City in Grant County. You're going to have a great time. We send a ton of our listeners over to that area, and good people over there. You'll have a great time. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management, and waiting on the live line, Troy Hutchison, who is our Wildcat contributor here on the Buckmaster Show. Troy from GoAZCats.com. Hey, Troy, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing pretty good, but everybody's got the same question, and you hear it 10 times a day. What happened to Wildcat football this year? So many high hopes for Coach Brennan and the team with the folks returning. What happened?
You know, it's a perfect storm of behind the eight ball early. Obviously, left tackle Raymond Polito, redshirt freshman, was supposed to be the, you know, the stalwart there at the left tackle position, stepped away from the team about a week before the start of the season, due to undisclosed reasons, but was quote unquote still on the team. But he hasn't played at all this season. So you're behind the eight ball there. You have Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, who after his 100-yard game against New Mexico has been dealing with NCAA eligibility issues after a few programs, maybe one up north, had the NCAA look into his eligibility, and he's been out for the whole entire season. And then, you know, some poor coaching on the offensive side of the ball, especially the offensive coordinator. I think the game plan just really hasn't come together and doesn't fit the strengths of this team. Some receivers haven't developed outside of Tetro McMillan. And then lastly is injuries. The defense has been riddled with injuries with Jacob Manu, Taron, Traydon Stukes, and Gunnar Maldonado, just to name a few that are out for the season. And then offensive line, obviously, at that left tackle position, Rhino Tiopatoa has been out for the season as well the last several games. So, you know, it's a perfect storm of guys being out for the year, offensive coaching being underwhelming, and, you know, this is the result of it. It's just a perfect storm of sad football for Arizona.
Are we going to have to build a new football team because of the portal, or are people going to be jumping?
You know, it's hard to say. You never know in these situations. I'm sure after this season, if they could get to a bowl game, that would be great. I think more realistically, go 5-7 and win the ASU game and have some time for self-evaluation on the coaching staff, improve there, and then look to the portal to add to the roster. I'm sure there'll be guys that abandon ship, but I'm sure there'll be guys that stick around. You know, that's just the nature of college football today, and it happens across the country. No matter how good your team is, you'll always lose guys to the portal.
And there are opportunities still here. We've got three football games. Houston is very beatable, I believe, the game Friday night. Then when we go to TCU, I don't know much about them, but of course ASU is pretty good this year.
Yeah, you know, if you would have told me at the beginning of the year that Arizona State would be close to 9 wins and Arizona looking to potentially get to a bowl game, I would have called you crazy.
Yeah.
Because on paper, ASU had one of the worst rosters in the conference coming into the season. But I think the schedule fell into place for them. They discovered what their identity is, and that's a hard-nosed running the football team. And, you know, on the opposite end, Arizona still doesn't know what its true offensive identity is. So, you know, if you know what you are and you're good at it, you can win games.
You can turn this around, though. There are three games, right?
You can, but it is very bleak.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. We just did our preview podcast today for the game, and I have Houston winning the game 24-17. I'm just not a big believer in this offense. It's gotten worse and worse every week. But I think if you beat ASU, you find a way to get that fifth win, including the ASU game. Even though you're not in a bowl game, I think you end the season on a high note and go into the offseason ready to self-evaluate.
How about basketball this year?
Yeah, you know, they've looked good through their first two games. They haven't played anybody in Old Dominion and Canisius. You know, those are two very minuscule programs, but very athletic, very good defensive. They can shoot the ball and spread the ball as well. This weekend, well, actually tomorrow against Wisconsin is going to be their first true test. They're on the road at Madison, Wisconsin in the Kohl Center. And, you know, Wisconsin isn't a great basketball team. They're going to be in the tournament. But this is the first true road test. It's going to be a tough game. But I think Arizona, with the talent that they have on the roster, they'll be able to pull away and win comfortably by double digits.
How about women's basketball?
Yeah, you know, they've been, you know, getting by and getting the W's, and that was a big win over UNLV. It's still, to me, when you look at this team, there's some offensive inefficiencies that we've seen over the years that keep on popping up. I question the depth on the roster, but a 4-0 start, 3-0 start, whatever it may be, is a great start for Adia Barnes in Arizona. Now, the non-conference schedule is very soft. It's very easy for Arizona, so they need to rack up their wins now. And as you get into the Big 12 play, the Big 12 isn't as what used to be the Pac-12 in terms of the strength of the conference. It's not similar, but it's still a tough conference. So if Arizona can finish in the top five, I think that's a good season. But, you know, realistically, I think you're looking anywhere from from 4-7 in that range.
Yeah, the old Pac had a real outstanding women's basketball, but the men, that was sort of questionable. But so now the U of A finds itself in the men find themselves in a very competitive environment, right?
Yeah, no, this is, to me, on paper, the best conference that the country's seen since the old days of the Big East. You have five, at one time you had five, I think it's four now, teams in the top 10 out of the Big 12, including number one Kansas. And you have six teams ranked all overall in the conference. And you can make the case for a Kansas State, Texas Tech, and teams like that, TCU, to be ranked as well. They're going to take their lumps along the way. They're not going to be perfect. Nobody is in this conference. And I think you're looking at a situation where the conference championship or the conference regular season title, the team to win it is going to have four or five losses. You're not going to see that two-loss team.
Was Colorado, getting back to football, was Colorado a big surprise to you?
It is somewhat, and I'm not sure that they're a good football team still. Their schedule really favors them. Again, they figured out their identity, and that's Shedeur Sanders and leaning the ball around, and they were able to get a little bit better defensively, but they really haven't been challenged on the schedule side in terms of football. But, you know, credit to Dion and his coaching staff, and really perfect timing as Florida State opens up most likely at the end of the season with their one win. The Dallas Cowboys might be opening up. I'm kind of hinting at that this will be probably the last year for Coach Prime in Colorado.
Speaking of coaches, what about Coach Brennan? Very few people expect any change at the University of Arizona at the top. I don't know what his was that a 3-year deal, Troy Hutchison, that Coach Brennan has?
I believe off the top of my head, I'm not looking at it right now, but I think it's a 4 or 5 year deal. That's usually the norm. Mm. It might be a 3-year, but I don't have it in front of me. But that first year, the buyout is $10 million.
Oof.
And the reality of Arizona's situation is you have a university deficit of $100+ million. You have an athletic department deficit at the time was $100+ million, which they've cut a little bit since, you know, Desiree Reed Francois took over. And it's still his first year. I know it's been a horrible first season, but he still has support from most boosters. He still has support from donors and a lot of alumni, given that he is a Dick Tomey and an Arizona guy. I don't believe there's going to be a change. Now, you never say never with a new athletic director, but I would say the odds are around like 5% that he gets fired. But you will be seeing changes on the offensive side of the ball in terms of the coaching staff there. I do believe that will happen.
How have the Pac teams that went to the Big Ten fared? How's that transition gone, Troy?
Yeah, you know, Oregon right now looks like the best team in football. They're ranked number one. I expect them to kind of a little bit implode at the end of the year like they usually do. But right now they're kind of cruising there at the top. USC is in turmoil right now, sitting at like 500. They haven't been very good. Change of quarterback. Their defense hasn't been good. It's similar USC problems to when they were in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
UCLA, you know, they didn't have a lot left over after Chip Kelly left and really didn't recruit that well over the last couple of years. So, you know, Coach Ruben Foster, he really doesn't have much there. So that's in a rebuild. And then Jed Fish, you know, not a lot of Arizona fans are going to love to hear this, but he was left with a depleted roster after so many guys went on to the NFL and transferred out of Washington when he got there. And yes, he took some from Arizona, but it was still a really thin roster, and I expected them to be near the bottom of the Big Ten. They're one win away from a bowl game, which proves that what a tremendous coach Jed Fish is and what a tremendous job that they did here at Arizona and they're going to do at Washington.
10 seconds to plug GoAZCats.com.
Yeah, so follow GoAZCats.com. Again, that's part of the Rivals family of networks. We cover everything from football, basketball, women's basketball, baseball, and softball, and we have all your recruiting news.
Troy, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Have a good one, Bill.
All right, on behalf of Troy and Tom on the other side of the glass, Bill here wishing everybody well.